It almost sounds like the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right. Let me start over. This time of year, I get kind of the chills. The birth of Jesus, because of all the negative people who think that it wasn't just another event, but just a famous person or whatever it may be. And I know better. And you know better. And I look at that and I think it isn't just a famous person. We're talking about the difference in his birth was that he was prophesied about 800 years earlier with Isaiah. And this helpless little baby, crying baby, because he became the hope of the world. And it was amazing when I typed in to Google, birth of Jesus, and I went to YouTube, and the majority of people are trying to figure out how for him not to be the Son of God. That we've made a mistake, and we've done all this, and I thought, isn't that so interesting? Thou dost protest too much, would be my phrase for that. Why are you so busy trying to get us to quit believing that unless there's something there? But I love the quote by Isaiah in Isaiah 9:6, and we're going to read that together. I'm going to read the white, and you're going to read the yellow. For unto us a child is born, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, our baby Jesus, born poor to a poor family, will eventually lead a one-world government of peace and righteousness. But as a baby and as a young boy, I kind of wondered this year what it must have really been like for him as he was born and started growing, because I think we may have a cloudy idea of what it was like. You know, like maybe that he grew up and he was the promised king and everything was wonderful. He had no problems, never fell down because the angels protected him and everything was tranquil. But things were said about him in the scripture, and we, from the time he was born until he turned 30, we don't have a lot of history, almost none. So maybe I could demonstrate it this way. Steve is up here, and he plays the bass. There's Steve right there, okay? Steve plays the bass. And, they all have, he has something in common with me. Steve, right? His name is Steve. And, you know, I look at all the names that we've gone through, and I don't know, Steve, your particular names, but I think we can all relate, but we'd have Steve, we'd have Stevie, we would have Stephen, we would have Stephanie, right? How many times have you heard Stephanie? Yeah. And I call him Steverino. Okay, now, I call him Steverino because when I was in middle school and high school, I watched the Tonight Show with my dad. We stay up till midnight. You know, I was always tired at school because we watched Steve Allen and Don Knotts was in there, and they named Steve Allen Steverino. And so I looked around to see if I could find out why, and I have no idea why his name was Steverino. I don't know, maybe he liked Reno, Nevada. I don't have the faintest idea, because in his time, Las Vegas wasn't as big a deal. And so, but Steverino was his nickname, and that's the nickname I grew up with. But I bet each of Steve's, the Steves and some of you others who may be Steve in here, have nicknames, and I don't know what they are, and you may not even want to tell me, because they may be offensive or even sensitive. But I'm going to tell you mine, okay? These were mine. First was Blackie, because Blackwell, okay? Steve the Sleeve, okay? Skinny Boy Steve, because I was actually skinny, okay? Black Boy Steve. Steve Whitewell. And then one guy that went to my church when I was a kid, I thought this was ingenious. Steve Blacksick. Steve Whitesick. Sorry, Steve Whitesick. Okay, Blackwell Whitesick. I thought that was pretty cool. So when he called me that, I didn't mind it so much. Four eyes. And probably the most used was Steve Blackhead. Now, why do kids do that to each other? And then we get to adults and we still do it, but usually it's a little bit kinder because we're all worn out from the childhood days of names. But I'm assuming that people probably gave you nicknames as well, right? Okay. So I wonder what they called Jesus at his birth and as he started to grow up. Since he was probably known to have been conceived outside of wedlock, Mary being pregnant before she was officially married to Joseph, trying to explain to people, well, you know, the Holy Spirit came down and impregnated me, and it wasn't Joseph. What would that sound like? So I suppose they called him, and I want to use this name, and a lot of people think it's a cuss word, but it is what it is. Okay, they called him a bastard. Right? They do that in dogs, bitches and bastards, but when we get to people, it's almost like swearing, isn't it? And so, but they would have sworn at him, right? So they would call him a bastard, and many times they probably called him poor boy, you know, a pitiful carpenter's son. But if Mary or Joseph told anything about what was going on, then they probably said, oh, this is Big King Jesus. Who do you think you are? Right? Man, it must have been hard for Mary and Joseph to explain what was going on. Or if Jesus told them, they would say, oh yeah, like his brothers and sisters. Oh yeah, Mr. Perfect. He always says the right thing, does the right thing, helps mom out, always gets us in trouble. Mr. Righteous. Mama's boy. Who's your daddy? Right? That might have been a big one. Because it says that he didn't do mighty works in his own town because of their disbelief. They didn't believe who he was. Is this not the carpenter's son? So they didn't see he had anything special. But we know because the Bible says that he would be associated with sinners. We know that he would get tired at times and go away, or he'd get weary, go up in the mountain and talk to his dad. A lot of times he wanted to just be alone like every human being. We know they will nickname him a drunkard. Of all things, a drunkard. Maybe even a crybaby. Because at Lazarus' death, he goes in, he's been dead for 4 days, and Jesus knows it for 4 days, and he still weeps. We don't even know why he cried, because he was going to raise him from the dead. He looks over Jerusalem and cries, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Because they would not recognize who he was. He will be nicknamed a sinner when he grows up. Even though throughout his life he never committed a single sin. Now, I want you to think about this a little bit because it's hard for us to be in that place, right? Like, what if I claimed I have never sinned? Well, you would have a new pastor next week because the leadership would throw me out. And besides, my wife's sitting here. So I'm never going to get away with that, right? And so I can't claim it, but he could. We knew that he would be tempted, or he knew it in all things, and yet without sin. He would be tempted like every one of you and overcome it. His heavenly Father would put him through the mill. Boy, we think we have it bad. Just think about it for a minute. All the things that Jesus went through, all the things that people said. And he will claim to be the Son of God. He will claim to be the Son of Man, an Old Testament name. He will claim to be the I Am, so much so that when he says it, the whole crowd falls backwards onto the ground of the force of that. And he will even say he existed before Abraham. He will claim to be God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yeah. And the world won't be able to escape it. They haven't escaped it. Look at all the churches, all the cathedrals, all the paintings. Everything is surrounding some kind of that through our history for 2,000 years. And they will have the written words of Jesus in books called the Gospels. They will have to wrestle with him in their hearts and be drawn to him and knowingly run from him. But they won't be able to escape him. And many of us will accept him as Lord of the universe and as Lord, Savior in our hearts at the same time. But now, just as a baby, a little baby Jesus, laying in a feeding trough, born just like you and me, is called the Savior by the angel who talks to the shepherds in the fields announcing his birth. Because he will be the Savior, the only Savior that exists, the Messiah for Israel, our Christ, the Anointed One. Isaiah says he'll be a light unto the Gentiles. And he'll have several other names and not Christareno. Right? This is what Isaiah says. His name will be called Wonderful. Lasting Father. Isn't that incredible? What names? How many CEOs have you seen that would be called any one of those words? Or a leader? And then he goes on and says, the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. No end to peace. So here's the thing about Christ. He doesn't need Maxwell's 21 Laws of Leadership book. He won't take the president's advice. He doesn't need to. And he won't take the advice of a CEO that does real well in a company. He will love us, the Bible says, with a great love. A great, incredible love he loves us. It all sacrificed to his Son. And show us the right path, and the path without sin, but the path which utterly loves you and me, which flows from him to us. And John says, we love him because he first loved us. His first nickname will be called Wonderful, because he is wonderful. So much so that he will get the nickname Wonderful. Have you ever met a leader that was completely wonderful? Like I said, have you ever seen a leader come up and you go, oh, he's so wonderful? Almost seems like a joke, doesn't it? And yet we'll say that about him. He's so wonderful. You know, I on occasion look at the Shark Tank when nothing else is on. You know what I'm saying? And that's where you have all these investors, and they look at all these different gadgets and decide whether they're going to invest. You know which ones I mean? Okay. And so Kevin O'Leary is one of the guys, and his nickname is Mr. Wonderful. Now, if you've seen that, he is not Mr. Wonderful. He's Mr. Wonderful because he helps people get rich, but usually at their expense. Not even close. He's a cutthroat investor. But Jesus will be wonderful. He will give away the farm, just the opposite. To you and me, promising all kinds of promises. He says, with every spiritual blessing. And his second nickname will be Counselor. Counselor. Man, we have thousands of books on counseling, don't we? Thousands of books that tells you how to heal yourself, how to heal yourself physically and mentally, and how to help with others and how to get along. And we read all those books and it doesn't do a whole lot. But he has the wisdom that is beyond Solomon. Beyond Solomon. His wisdom will be so great that when you listen to him, you'll probably cry at how perfect his wisdom is. And the third is his name, the third name, nickname he's been given is the Mighty God. You know, I think about all the world leaders and their might, and we listen to it on the news, and they can't seem to quite get things under control. And that's because there are evil authorities out there, the Bible tells us. Satan and his host, but they can't stand up to God. And then his fourth, his nickname is Everlasting Father. He's a father to us that we never had on this earth. And that we've needed in our lives. Our earthly fathers may have been good, but they aren't enough, right? They just aren't enough. And we look at it and we have this kind of hole that we want filled up in our life with a dad that loves us and is righteous, and he's that. He is that. And the fifth nickname he will be called is the Prince of Peace, who in this world brings peace. Who else brings peace except Christ? He will bring peace to our hearts and lives and to the earth. He will bring peace between us and the Father. Because our hearts are shaken, my friends, and they're shaken all the way through our life. And we get scared and we cry out, I just need peace, please, peace. But we will experience real, incredible peace with the Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What great nicknames. Being born on earth in Bethlehem in a fenced animal corral, a baby laying, maybe even crying in a feed trough wrapped with strips of sheets that usually go on sheep. Jesus, he's God's gift for Christmas to us, isn't he? Which overflows his love through us to those that we're going to be spending the Christmas vacation with. That's the gift he gave us. The little baby represents ultimate love. Was it a messy ordeal for him? Yeah. Critics, enemies, accusations, humiliations, negative nicknames. But this baby will grow up and love us. And he has. He came to a lost world to invite him, the lost world, in to his heart and his heart into ours. He says this, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. And now he wants to love us. And maybe we can love him back. Can we? Can we love him back the way he loves us? To love like he loved. He wants us this Christmas to get past all the Santa Claus syndrome and all the presents, even though I'm sure he enjoys that as well. Watching us have that good time. He wants to get us to love the people that are giving the presents. Amen? Can you do that? This God, this Lamb, this King is calling you to relationship on a personal level. And He's asking you to put your faith and trust in Him for the future and allow His Spirit to live within you. And you as Christians, you've done that. You've asked for that. Are you allowing that love to come back out? And for you who haven't had that chance to just stop and take a moment to ask Him into your life, I just want to read a verse for you out of Romans 10:9 that says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, two things, Lord, and believe He rose from the dead, you will be saved, the Scripture says. So if you will you bow your head with me? I'm going to say a little prayer, and if you're here this morning and you have never asked Christ to come into your life and you want to do that this morning, I'm going to pray this prayer, and you just can whisper it along with me, realizing you're going to ask Christ to come into your life like He has to all the others here. And the prayer goes like this. So just whisper along. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask You to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord, the Master of my life. I believe that You rose from the dead, just as the verse said, and because of that, You rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. I surrender my life to You. While heads are still bowed, maybe you've prayed that prayer with me. You meant it. I'm going to ask you to do something. We want to pray for you, maybe even give you a Bible if you need it, but we want to start with prayer. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up and put it back down and say, Steve, I made that decision this morning. I made that decision. Just raise your hand up, put it back down. Anybody this morning? Father, we just thank You so much that You love us so. Lord, we almost don't even know what that means. Lord, because we're dealing with all these issues in our life and we're trying to love, but people are hurting us, people are doing different things. Lord, I just ask over this Christmas holiday that You will help us to love the people we're with like Jesus loves us. And may You be glorified through that. In Jesus' name, amen.